Accession number 29247, reel number 1.
It's very dinky, isn't it?
Yes, it should be recording now. There shouldn't be any problem about it.
Right.
I'll just get this a bit closer to... Okay. Right. This is an interview with Sir David Elliott, August 2004. It's the 16th today, isn't it? It was,
17th.
Yes, that's right. Sir David was one time in 1939 an evacuee at Shoreham Village School. So perhaps you can tell me a little bit about your life and your situation before the war started.
Yes, well, I lived on the Bellingham estate, which was fairly new in those days. I think it was built by Herbert Morrison in 1920, so it was a splendid estate, like a model town, really, with purpose-built churches, schools and so on. And I went to one of the schools called the Athelney Street School. I think it was called Athelney Street Elementary School. And we had a happy time as children, but then came the war. And in 1939, when war broke out, everyone expected there to be immediate bombardments. And so my family, at any rate, took off for relatives in Berkshire for about a weekend. And then we heard Chamberlain announcing the declaration of war. Nothing happened, so we came back. So I think several months went by, and the authorities decided that the children should be evacuated. And as a result of that, I came to Shoreham with other pupils from Athelney Street School.
Mm. Did they evacuate the entire school?
I think it was voluntary, and I think it was open to the entire school, yes. Whether they all came to Shoreham, I rather doubt. I think there was there were arrangements for evacuation for the entire school, but I doubt that all of them came to Shoreham. Mm.
And you brought your own school teachers with you?
Yes. I can remember two or three came with us and looked after us very well throughout the period.
Hmm. And of course this virtually doubled the school population in Shoreham.
Yes, and as a result of that, this marvellous thing which we only heard as a sound came into force, which was called double sessions. I don't think we understood the meaning of the individual words, but what it meant to us is that we only went to school for half a day, either morning or afternoon, alternating with the other shift. So that was perfectly wonderful, because we enjoyed school, but we also enjoyed the time off in the countryside.
And how long were you in Shoreham in this first phase?
I think it was, I'm not entirely sure, but I think it was from the autumn of 1939 through to the spring of 1940.
And there was no formal re-evacuation, you just drifted back.
Yes, that's right, yes. And even then, because I suppose there was no visible war to us where we were, I used to go home very often on the train at weekends, carrying my little cardboard box with its gas mask and a small overnight case. It's amazing that boys of nine could do that. It's unthinkable now, isn't it? Changing trains sometimes at Swanley Junction, I seem to remember, to get back to Bellingham. But yes, so that lasted through that period, and we had our schooling there. The teachers arranged interesting things for us to do. The local boys arranged some equally interesting things, but perhaps less commendable, like stealing apples from orchards, scrumping. They taught me how to find and blow bird's eggs, and how to prepare a snare for a rabbit or a hare, things which I would never have discovered in Bellingham.
Mm. Was there any, how far did you mix with other children, what form did this mixing take, really?
Well, I think I don't remember particular friends. I don't remember any names, but that's just a failing memory. But we must have been pretty close to them, because all these things I've just mentioned, we were introduced to by the local children. So paddling through the lovely River Darrent, and walking and discovering and climbing up the hill, and all those things, we needed someone to guide us, and those were the local children. They must have found us a bit of a mystery, perhaps, but they showed no sign of resentment at our arrival.
And you were billeted somewhere in the High Street?
Yes. I've tried to find today the exact cottage. It was one of a terrace of smallish cottages on the right-hand side as you go towards the church, with a back garden leading onto the hill. And I remember I slept upstairs, and I looked out of the window in the morning, and the cross on the hill was quite near, I think, to the left, a little to the left. But I can't identify the precise cottage, either because perhaps it was bombed, or perhaps my memory has failed. But the picture in my mind is of one which stands a fair way back from the road, whereas the ones I've been looking at today are much nearer the road. It was a comfortable enough place. I think the people who lived there were working on farms. But it had an outside toilet, which I wasn't used to. We soon got used to that. We were well fed and well looked after.
Were you the only child in the billet?
Yes, I think I was. Yes, yes, yes.
But you had also friends, of course, from Billingham who came down with you.
Yes, although I don't remember them either. It was dreadful. But they must have been there in the same village, in the same school. We must have met. I remember the teachers more than I remember the other the other pupils. They were extremely good. Couldn't have been easy meshing in with the locals and so on. But one clear memory in my mind is of a truly adventurous walk at night. They arranged a moonlit walk up White Hill, and I loved that. I don't think I'd ever stayed up so late outdoors in my life. And it was one of those crisp Kentish nights, and you could look down and see quite a lot of the countryside despite the late hour. It was lovely.
And you saw a bit of the neighbourhood as well in Lullingston? And
yes, indeed. They, I suppose, because of these double sessions.
Yes.
Perhaps our own teachers equally enjoyed double sessions rather than teaching the local people. I think they perhaps stayed with us. And thus, when we were off in the afternoon, they would often organise such trips. I remember going to Item to see the moat. I remember going to Lullingstone to see the castle and the silkworms, I think. We also went to Knoll Park, yes. We went to Knoll Park to look there. And on Saturdays, quite a lot of us, I'm never sure who paid for this, but quite a lot of us boarded the double-decker bus. There was a green double-decker bus which went from Shoreham to Sevenoaks, I think via Otford, I suppose. And it took the children to, or anybody else, I suppose, but anyway, we children boarded it to go to a children's cinema on Saturday mornings, watching cowboy films and this sort of thing. So that was fun too.
Is there anything special about school life in wartime that you remember from that first 6 months? I mean, to what extent did the children learn anything about the conduct of the war and like that? Because
yes, I don't remember. I don't. Obviously, therefore, either we weren't taught it or I didn't take it in. I don't remember anything happening at school over Dunkirk, for example. I remember about it because of the newspapers and the radio. But I don't remember having any discussions at school about it. I suppose, in a way, apart from the fact that we were displaced from our homes, we were scarcely aware at that stage that, that there was a war on. It wasn't until rather later that it became apparent, when the skies were filled with the Battle of Britain combats, and later on with the bombing. Yes.
By the time the Battle of Britain came, of course, you'd gone back to Bellingham.
Indeed, yes, that's right.
But you came back this way later on.
Yes. I suppose it was towards the end of 1940, after the Battle of Britain, which was the autumn of 1940, but when the night bombing of London began, which I think was over that winter of 40-41, that bombs began to fall in southeast London. After all, the docks were only a few miles from Bellingham, and many of the German bombing missions were aimed at the docks. And a few bombs dropped in Bellingham, and AK-AK guns were posted there. And we all had air raid shelters dug in the garden. And for many nights, we would sleep in the air raid shelter. And for some nights, the earth would be shaking when the bombs came down. We were never hit, but other houses nearby were, and one or two of my parents' friends were killed in that area. So my parents must have decided that it was better to get away again from this, although my father still worked in London. And so we returned, this time as a family, to Shoreham, and I distinctly remember living in the vicarage for a time. I think we were alone there. I think perhaps there was some billeting arrangement which you could go to if you were in need of accommodation, and they would allocate you somewhere. Anyway, we ended up in the vicarage, and it was a rather strange experience, especially for my mother, who I don't think knew much about village life at all. I found myself, as a little boy, rather proudly showing them round, introducing them to this new experience. And then rather later again, why I'm not sure, we ended up as a family in Otford, in a house at the other end of Otford, away from the railway station. But meanwhile, I had also been sent, it must have been the first part, the 39-40 part, I'd also been sent as an evacuee to Otford. I don't know why. A house in Broughton Avenue. I remember that address, and I remember the name of the lady who looked after it, Mrs. Homewood. There were two of us there, two boys from London. And we went to school there for a time.
This second occasion that you were in Shoreham, of course, by this time the real shooting war had started in Shoreham as well as in Bellingham.
Yes. I don't remember. I mean, I've seen since then areas of Shoreham which were bombed, but I don't remember any of that happening while we were there. I think I remember the sound of the bombers going overhead and so on, but we just felt so relieved to be out of the main target areas.
And there was the military were in Shoreham too. Do you remember any of the soldiers?
No, I don't. No, I don't remember seeing any soldiers. You would expect to see all the trains that I took too, but I don't remember seeing any.
Because they occupied Shoreham Place, didn't they?
Yes. Yes.
You remember the old Shoreham
Place? I do remember Shoreham Place because for some reason I used to walk to Watford occasionally and I passed it en route. But that's all I knew about it. It was a rather handsome house, but that's all I knew about it. My memories are mainly those of a town boy invited by some hand of destiny to taste the joys of the countryside, because I discovered damson trees. I think I'd eaten damsons before, bought from the greengrocers, but I'd never seen damson trees before, and I loved damson. There were a lot in Shoreham, I don't know where there still are. And I loved paddling in the Darrent by the bridge with my wellies on, seeing how far — this was a game the boys used to play — how far we could walk into the centre of the stream before the water came over the top of our wellingtons. And there were so many joys. I discovered cowpats, which I'd never been close to before. So many pleasures for a boy, set free for half a day with very little supervision and no parental control by definition. And we were, I think, privileged to have it and lucky to survive it.
There were, I mean, Shoreham had a lot more shops than that in those
days,
didn't it? Was there?
Yes, it's true. I've only seen one today, and I do remember more, but I don't think I actually went in them. Maybe I went in the sweet shop a bit, but there certainly was a full range of shops in those days. I think you could buy everything you needed in Shoreham itself then. Yes.
And you mentioned you have been back since, besides today.
Yes. Yes, I've been back once or twice. First to show my wife, who didn't enjoy the same experience. I mean, it wasn't evacuated, I mean. And second, to show my daughter where I'd spent this small part of the war. And they were both very interested. I think my daughter was slightly mystified at the whole process of evacuation, but then to that generation it seems a long time ago. So I have yet to introduce my grandsons to Shoreham, but I look forward to that. The one disappointment, which I can hardly blame anybody for, except that I'm part of the blame, is that the village in my memory is now different, because in those days there were no cars. Today there are cars everywhere. But that is so, of course, we all want a car. Sometimes we want two. And we live often in houses which weren't built in an era which made provision for cars. So there we are. But it has spoilt my visual memory of Shoreham. It's no longer quite the same looking down the high street as I remember it.
And do you remember anything? They had although there was no shooting war going on, they had all the blackout restrictions and everything else
in wartime. Yes, I remember that more at home in Bellingham than here. I suppose because I was part, my parents would say, make sure this, make sure that, whereas I wasn't involved in that here. I suppose people did it. Must have done, but I don't remember it. Don't remember it. Of course, there were very few cars, even fewer than there might otherwise have been because of petrol shortages and so on. And when there were cars, they had these strange slits on the headlamps.
Thank you very much. If you have any mementos or anything or pictures, we'll be very pleased to have them for our.
I will certainly look, and anything I can find, I'll send through. I'm sorry that I can't remember more or more detail about that time. I hope you find other evacuees whose memory is better.
You are the first evacuee that we have interviewed so far. I think one of my colleagues has traced another evacuee.
Mm-hmm.
Who also is in Twickenham, apparently.
Amazing, isn't it? Yes.
We might be able to trace them through knowing now which schools have evacuated.
Right.
And if you can tell me a bit later, the secondary school they moved on to, and this might help me.
Yes, by all means. Okay. Try and do that.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.